This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're talking about the state of the expanded universe and looking ahead to Star Wars Celebration. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show! It's weird that we don't have a guest on this week, so I don't have to do any introductions before moving right into our stingers.
No, you don't.
That's odd.
I know, right? This is like the original Toshi Station.
Toshi Station 1.0, just Nancy and me because we couldn't figure out how to add anyone else.
Hey,
what?
People listen for us, not just other people, right?
I mean, we couldn't figure out how to make a third person work in recording.
Oh. We couldn't?
No.
Oh,
okay. Because Skype is dumb.
Oh, okay.
Any other podcasters listening to this know exactly what we're talking about. Let's just go right into a word from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net. For more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
Excellent. And Ashley debuted a new Marvel shirt today.
Yes, a Black Widow t-shirt.
Very cool looking.
Only $20, so.
So if you want it, head over to Toshi-Station.net, click that ad on the sidebar, because we get 10% of the sale, and that helps us pay our web hosting fees.
Yes.
Thank
and
you.
There's also a contest going on, I think, like your best Black Widow picture.
Ooh.
So.
Very cool.
So check that out.
I think that brings us now to what's new on the blog, and someday I'm going to have a bumper for this segment.
Yeah, because
it's now an official segment.
Yeah, we need to figure out one, so if you have an idea, let us know.
The soundboard is back today, by the way.
Ooh.
After a long hiatus.
What's related to, like, bloggy or journal type things in Star Wars? Nothing.
I've got nothing. I got nothing.
Okay. I'll think on this. But
it's about ethics and Holonet news.
Yeah.
And I just brought the Horde.
No, but that's not something from the movies.
I know. I just wanted to poke fun at Gamergate.
Oh. Okay.
Because I can.
Okay. Anyway, Bria reviewed Princess Leia number 2. And she also reviewed Darth Vader number 4, was it? So,
Number 3, I believe.
So, check those out if you are wanting to know more about the comics. And, she also outlined a new approach to recommending the expanded universe. You know, mostly people try to recommend the books they like the most, or for me, I always go with Thrawn Trilogy first. But, she had a few good points about, you know, taking into account the subjects people are most interested in, which, you know, people usually did. But also now, you know, you've got, well, do you want to read Legends material or do you want to read just the canon material? And, you know, I would say definitely try to listen to people's preferences, even if you want to get them to read Legends material, because if they read, you know, a good couple of good books, then they might want to say, okay, well, what else is there? So.
Always a good thing.
Yeah, so check out that article.
Which brings us now into And of course, the soundboard and Audacity didn't pick that up.
Oh,
that was a Fixer's Flash thing. I've got to fix that for next week. It only barely hurt it. Fixer's Flash.
So, what have we done? I read Princess Leia number 2. It's keeping up with the comic. I don't know what has become of me. When does the next one come out? The week before Celebration?
I believe you're right. Week before Celebration.
Okay. Too bad it wasn't coming out the week of Celebration, because then I'd save it and read on the plane. So I read that. I still liked it. Had a bit of a cliffhanger ending, which was very rude. I also started going through the Celebration schedule, which we will talk about later, and trying to outline my plan of attack, which is always one of my favorite parts of planning for a con.
Bring on the spreadsheets.
Because I like planning shit.
You know. You're the Monica of conventions.
I am the Monica of conventions. I've got little baby ducklings following me this year. Newbies to Celebration, so.
Exciting.
Yes.
As for me, we both went to Cloak and Blaster, a great geek-themed pub.
Yes.
Games, geeky-themed food, including the Wedge Antilles salad. and excellent beer.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, quite good.
I don't like beer. I do like their food, though.
We were also at the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival over at Disney World.
Yes.
Very pretty. Also, the food is excellent.
Yes. They've got lots of cute topiaries, and it wasn't really that crowded either. It's a lot less crowded than Food and Wine Festival, and they've got, you know, food booths set up. So if you want to go to a less crowded Food and Wine, you can go to the Flower and Garden Festival.
Which is quite awesome.
Yeah.
In case this podcast sounds weird, I picked up some new audio gear in preparation for Celebration, so this is the inaugural trial run of said gear to make sure it all works.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Yay, new audio.
And already jotted down, fix soundboard.
That's very specific, Brian. Yeah. Oh, are you messing up stuff on the fly?
Just the soundboard.
Please
just
don't
the
do
soundboard.
That.
And that
Please.
Brings us. That brings us into. Hey, the soundboard works.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! Geekster.
Now remember what all the inputs were. Don't mess it up.
I won't touch it. I just have to remember the iPad goes into line in, not mic in. Just as long as I remember that.
I don't know what that means.
I'm just making a note so I can refer back to it later when I'm scrambling at Celebration to get everything working.
That'll be fun.
Oh, totally.
People, you should come to the podcast just to see Brian freak out over the audio equipment, not necessarily to hear us.
Hey, I've only got to get 5 microphones working and a soundboard and the recording laptop and the backup handheld recorder. We're fine. We're fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're all fine.
Sure.
Here. We're good. We're sure. good.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start with some news outside of Star Wars. And Nancy, I think you're very excited about this one. Truth is out there, Scully.
No, you can't do a Mulder. Don't even try.
The truth is out
you
there,
You are not
Scully.
Cool enough to be Mulder.
No one is cool enough to be Mulder. Huh, David Duchovny, why won't you love me?
Yay, new X-Files! I am so excited about this. X-Files was one of my first fandoms. Although I wasn't really involved in the fandom because I didn't have the internet until 1998 or 99 and didn't really go looking for fandom stuff until later. But yeah, I'm super excited. I stopped watching X-Files around season 6.
That was a good point to stop.
Yeah. Didn't really care for any of the season 8 or 9 or 10 stuff because people left and I don't care about that.
I mean, I sure am looking forward to the continued adventures of Agent Scully and John Doggett.
No, Doggett and Rays.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That was a thing that happened.
Yeah. So I'm happy that Mulder and Scully are back. Yes, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson will be back. And Chris Carter is directing only 6 episodes, kind of a short revival, but I think that is awesome. You know, I kind of think this is the way TV is going anyway, like short seasons, like of different like events, rather than, you know, 22 episode season with the hiatus and off in the summer. Because, you know, there are things like Netflix and the traditional model isn't really, you know, valid anymore as far as the only way to watch TV. So I'm super excited about X-Files. I did see the last movie, which is I Want to Believe. I did not hate it, although a lot of people did. It
wasn't as good as the first movie.
No, but the problem with this, well, the problem with I Want to Believe was it was an episode that was, you know, 2 hours long, which is also the problem people have, some people have with Star Trek movies, is a lot of them are just an episode. Or I've heard people say that, you know, because I'm not a Star Trek person.
The latter Next Generation movies had that problem.
Yes, that is where I've heard it. You know, that's where I've heard that.
First Contact was brilliant and great, and I loved it to pieces, but the ones that came after that.
Right. So, if, you know, I liked it for what it was. I was not a Mulder and Scully shipper. And for those people who don't know, that is where that term came from. The X-Files fandom invented the word shipping. So, yay, X-Files fandom. And
they also invented the word scolding, which describes so many relationships on television.
Yes, but so I didn't want them to get together during the show because I thought it would mess up the show. I didn't want that to be the focus of the show. But I wanted them to get together at the very end of the show, basically. Like, I wanted that to be the end. And that's kind of what did happen. And I admit that I squealed a lot in the movie when they were, and I Want to Believe, when they were, you know, together. And I thought it was kind of adorable. But, yeah, so I'm very interested to see what, you know, what is happening and, you know, new X-Files. I think it's time to watch some of the show. Although there's 10 seasons of it, so I will probably just watch my favorite episodes. And if you have not seen Postmodern Prometheus, that is one of my favorites. Also, Jose Chung's From Outer Space.
If you ever wanted to see David Duchovny sing the theme from Shaft.
Yeah. Jose Chung from Outer Space is one of the best episodes of TV ever. Also, Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose.
Great episode.
Bad Blood. And even the pilot holds up really, really well. So,
except for the cell phones.
I might have to do a post about my favorite X-Files episodes. Do a primer for the show.
I like that idea.
Yeah. So, yay! X-Files reopened! And I love that the thing was going around on Tumblr, the Telegraph that was from Fight the Future. Yeah.
And coming back into the land of Star Wars, we have a new blurb for Dark Disciple.
Yes. Do you want to read that now or later?
We can come back to that one.
But yep, there's a new blurb for Dark Disciple. Not the next book, but the this is coming out in July. So I think it's the last book on the schedule right now before Aftermath. So the last early years book. And as we mentioned before, the Star Wars Celebration schedule has been posted. If you are going, be sure to check it out. Make your plan of attack. They are still adding panels. There's a lot of coming soons. They actually just added a panel today that we can't go to because it's when we're doing our podcast, and we're not going to tell you what it is because you would much rather be coming to our podcast than listening to some dude named Gareth Edwards talk about Star Wars movies, right?
Come on, let's be honest. They're not actually going to tell us anything about those movies.
That's the thing. I would definitely want to go to the panel if I wasn't doing the podcast. I will admit that. However, It's 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and you will probably have to wait in line for a bunch of hours before the convention center opens to be able to get in. Who is going to want to do that after Saturday night?
So come see our podcast recording.
It'll be very
relaxed. You can just
walk
right in.
Yep, just get to the convention center whenever you want. Just stroll right in. You know, you don't have to worry about rushing because we don't start until 10:30. You just wander on in at 10:25, and oh, here's an hour of entertainment. And we have wristbands.
We do have wristbands. We're giving away wristbands. Should we tell them what the wristbands are? Because they're pretty cool.
They are pretty cool. They're legendary.
Boy, that was that was really on the nose, Nancy. That was really on the nose.
Let's just say that they're legendary wristbands.
At this point, we might as well just tell them what
no!
they are.
No! Let's have some aura of mystery.
Some aura of mystery.
Yeah.
By the way, any Delray folks, please come find us. We want to give you some
of
these wristbands.
No, we will go to their booth to give them the wristbands, Brian.
This is true.
What? No, we go to them.
Also, if we go to Dragon Con, we have to save a couple for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, we are recording. We've mentioned this before. We might as well talk about what our podcast recording on the podcast stage is going to be.
Yes.
Because we put up a post on this on the blog today. But Sunday, room 208B, is it? 208B?
Yes, the podcast stage.
208B, Sunday at 10:30 a.m., we are recording. Nancy, myself, Bria, and Sho will be on stage recording a live episode of Toshi Station Radio in front of an audience. It's going to be very much like a normal episode. We'll have the usual intros. We'll have what's new on the blog, Fixer Slash, Deek's Dirt, and Cammy's Concerns. But Cammy's Concerns is where we change things up a bit.
Yes. Whereas usually we will, you know, have a topic of conversation or an interview with someone. It's going to be more of an interview with everyone. So if you are coming to our podcast, we will ask for people who would like to talk and bring them up on stage and ask them a bunch of questions about Star Wars and, you know, the typical how they became a fan, what Star Wars means to them, what they're looking forward to in the future of the saga. You know, we'll have a few questions, but then really whatever anyone wants to talk about, you know, if you have a question for us, you want to hear us, you know, give us take about. But really, we're here because we want to celebrate you.
Which is why the episode will be called A Celebration, of You. From the beginning, Toshi Station.
And,
No.
I'm singing the Disney song that we are going to play as people are coming into and out of the podcast.
Oh, okay.
The song is called Celebrate You. And if you ever attended the Celebrate a Dream Come True parade or the old Move It, Shake It parade, that is the song at the end. Now you can continue.
now I have to find where I was.
From the beginning.
From the beginning, Toshi Station Radio. I'm not sure if you know this, but we've been about diversity.
What?
And fandom, diversity in Star Wars.
Straight white dudes all the way.
From the beginning, we were a podcast focused on diversity. Diversity in storytelling, diversity in characters, diversity in creators, diversity in fans. We want this to be a chance for you to share your voice and to share your story. We know that there are a lot of folks who are fans of Star Wars, but do not fall into the usual demographic checkboxes.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to share your story of how you became a fan, what resonates with you, what sort of representation you'd love to see in Star Wars. We want to give you a voice and to let you share your story.
Yes.
So I know that there's going to be a standalone film panel, which will be awesome. Which probably won't actually say anything about
the
films.
I won't begrudge anyone who goes to that panel.
We're not begrudging anyone who goes to that panel. But if you want to be part of what is going to be a very cool episode of Toshi Station Radio that we've never done before,
mm-hmm.
come over to room 208B, Sunday, 10:30. We want to make you a part of the podcast for a day. So Jot that down. Save it in your app. 10:30 Sunday, Tosche Station Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Be there. We want to give you a voice and let you be heard.
Yep.
And that's all we're going to say on that one. We'll remind you of, we'll remind you again before a celebration rolls around, but that's our pitch to you.
Yes.
To skip out on the standalone film panel to come hang out with us.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, we're all right.
We're all right. We're all right. We're all right. Those Tosche Station Radio people. They're cool. Where was I? Rumors that a Star Wars live action show will be shooting at Pinewood in between movies.
Are you shocked?
This is my surprise tone.
I don't know if I believe they're gonna ever do a live action show. I kind of don't care about a live action show. I know I'll probably be, you know, run out of the fandom for saying that, but, you know, I feel like Star Wars either does best as a live action movie or a animated TV show.
I agree. So yeah, live action show, you know, there's been rumors of a live action show in various different incarnations kicking around for ages, but who knows? This time it may actually happen. There's some precedent out there with some Marvel stuff that's made it over to ABC and to Netflix, so we'll see.
Yep.
And finally, this is madness.
Yes. Oh, I forgot you had that! So we haven't been paying much attention to This Is Madness because Luke Skywalker was in the play-in round, which is just ridiculous. But whatever, it's just a silly tournament for fun. However, ladies and gentlemen, a serious travesty is about to happen. Because Padme is losing to freaking Jar Jar.
Did you see why?
Yes, because of 4chan and Reddit. So, people, get off your asses and go click a button to vote for Padme. Because this is stupid, and she is our last hope to have a lady in the tournament. That is all I want to.
Yeah, that's all I want to say about this one.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Thanks, Hondo would want you to vote for Padme.
Hondo would want you to vote for Padme, and when has Hondo ever steered you wrong?
Well, don't answer that question.
Don't answer that question. Don't answer that. And moving on.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
It's Big's bullshite. Sorry, folks. I'm still getting back into the hang of having a soundboard.
We had to delete this segment for celebration, by the way.
Yeah, this segment will not be coming with us to celebration.
We have to be family friendly.
We're mostly family friendly.
Mostly family friendly. In the stupid department, Lucasfilm cannot market Rogue One until the new Mission Impossible movie, Rogue Nation, comes out this summer. First of all, I didn't even know they were doing another Mission Impossible movie. Second of all, how stupid do they think people are?
Is that a thing people do? Confuse Mission Impossible and Star Wars?
I guess because it has the same word in it that, you know.
I'm trying to think of another stupid example of films you could possibly confuse because it has a word in it.
Star Wars and Star Trek.
Oh no.
What is our dog doing back there, by the way?
Let's see. Mara is passed out on the couch.
I was mostly talking
Jade
about the Jade.
Jade is. Oh, hi, Jade.
What is she doing?
Just lurking behind me.
Okay.
She's lurking, loitering with intent.
If you missed last week's podcast, we got a new dog named Jade, which is the name she came with. We didn't do that. Just FYI. And she's still not understanding this whole podcasting thing. So making sure she's not making a mess or eating cake.
Each other's faces a lot.
We do, because that's what happens.
Kind of odd.
No, it's really not. It's normal. They can't market Rogue One, which, I mean, it's kind of dumb because they weren't really going to anyway because it's not filming until this summer and not out until next December. So they're really not losing anything. Also, they are able to talk about it at Celebration, which is really the only time they'd probably talk about it until...
And even then, they're probably not going to tell us much.
I mean, they stopped filming Force Awakens how many months ago, and what have we gotten? A trailer. That's it. A teaser. Like, a 60-second teaser.
That was mostly black space.
It was mostly black screen. And, which is, okay. I mean, I'm not going to complain. It was awesome. But I'm hoping we have more.
As am I. And, you know, another reason you should come to our thing, instead of going to the really awesome standalone films panel, they're not going to say much. I've got my laptop that I need to record with. I'll just have Twitter up, and I'll just
let
you guys know.
Everyone in the panel will have Twitter up. Duh, that's what we do.
And but we'll, in case you don't have your phone or access to Twitter, I will tell you what happens.
I mean, if it was a Force Awakens panel where they could actually have a trailer,
we'd be skipping our own recording.
Yeah, we would.
I'm so glad we're not going up against JJ and Kathleen.
No one is going up against
Thank
them.
You, Mary.
Yeah, no one is going up against that. But yeah, this is really dumb and stupid, but I am also going to be in violation of this role because I'm making a Rogue One shirt for Celebration.
Woo!
And also, John Williams will be recording the Episode 7 score in Los Angeles as opposed to London. So this will be the first time that the Star Wars score is not recorded in London and also not with the London Symphony Orchestra. It'll be recorded with a freelance orchestra that Williams has recorded other scores with. And this was not because of his health or anything like that. It was honestly just scheduling because they're recording it over like a several month period, I believe, as they're editing the film, which I think is kind of neat, you know, that he's going to be scoring it while...
It's a very streamlined process.
Yeah. So, it kind of, like, I know a lot of people criticize his score for the prequels, but I don't think that was fair. I think a lot of the problems with the score was the editing, you know, because if you listen to the soundtrack is great. But
I mean, musically speaking, some of John Williams' finest work happened in the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, but it was the problem with, like, in the Battle of Geonosis, like, his score was, like, cut up completely.
Cut up,
and, like,
drowned
at
out.
The Battle of Coruscant, the same problem. But, I mean, Phantom Menace is such an underrated soundtrack, and it still pisses me off that none of those movies were nominated for a Best Original Score, especially Phantom Menace. Because Phantom Menace had Duel of the Fates, which was awesome. It also had Anakin's theme, which is extremely underrated. And, you know, a lot of really cool scenes, like themes. The Trade Federation theme was used all throughout the prequels. Qui-Gon's funeral scene was later used. You know, it's got a lot of good stuff in there. So, see, people, we like the prequels.
We do like the prequels. Gee, does that bring us into our discussion topic for the week?
I think so.
Oh boy.
I am not a committee!
I've missed the soundboard.
Hi,
I'm just going to say that again. I've missed the soundboard.
Yes, people, also, we need a theme. I think I said this before. We need a theme for Big's Bullshite. Or not Big's Bullshite, the blog.
What's new on the blog. So if you have an idea for a bumper I can use for that, please let
Something
me know.
Something related to writing or articles or... maybe something with, like, we won't report until there's nothing to report, or, trying to think. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. This week's discussion topic, the state of the expanded universe, state of Star Wars literature.
Yes. We're three books now into the canon reboot. We've had A New Dawn, which we have a whole podcast about, so you could go there. We have Tarkin, which Bria reviewed for the blog. Brian and I did not read. Did you read Tarkin?
I was so busy acclimating to a new job, I did not have
yeah,
time.
Yeah, so I did not read it either. It's on my list to eventually read, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I've been very remiss in my reading lately. I apologize. But Heir of the Jedi, which we also Bria reviewed, and I wrote a blog post about it. And we've got Lords of the Sith and Dark Disciple coming up. So I figured we'd just go through, you know, one by one and chat about, you know, what the EU is, you know, what's the state of it now? Where does it look coming up? So I know both Bria and Sho liked Tarkin. The thing I heard about Tarkin most was that it had the most continuity references
from James Luceno. I know, no
right?
Way.
So there were a few things that caught my attention about Tarkin. And we'll be revealing spoilers if you haven't read any of the books. But the one thing I'm really most interested in is that Tarkin revealed that the Jedi Temple was built on an ancient Sith nexus or shrine or something to that
effect.
Did
you morons not watch Poltergeist?
Even more interesting is that after Revenge of the Sith, after the creation of the Empire, Palpatine turned the Jedi Temple into what we knew in the expanded universe in Legends as the Imperial Palace. Which kind of made me tilt my head and go, really? I like that they kept the palace as a thing. That exists, but I'm kind of also bummed because I love the artwork from the, I believe it was one of the art book, Ralph McQuarrie art books, of the Imperial Palace. It's this huge juggernaut, like pyramid type building, and that's always how I pictured it, and it's, you know, such a unique structure, an important part of the old expanded universe. And later on, you know, that they used the Jedi Temple once they, you know, the prequels started coming out. But
because everything had to
come
back
to
the
prequels.
Status quo. And, yeah.
But I'm just really interested in how this will work out. If the sequels will be on Coruscant at all and how that'll be depicted, if they'll mention it in Rebels. I really hope it's something that is referenced later. You know, I feel like after seeing the prequels for three movies straight, and especially since so much of Revenge of the Sith took place on Coruscant, that we need to see it again in The Force Awakens, you know? So it'll be really interesting to see, especially because in Return of the Jedi, in the, when they redid it for the DVD releases, you can see the Jedi Temple in the background and it looks exactly the same. So obviously there's some disconnect there, and I'm wondering if they're going to go back and change it to have changes to the Jedi Temple to make it look more like the Imperial Palace that we No, from the expanded universe. So, that's my thoughts on that. Brian, do you have anything to add?
I think you grabbed just about everything I was going to say on Tarkin.
Hmm. Also,
we were hoping for, you know, certain characters to get offhand mention, but yeah, that didn't happen.
I know there
but
were,
that's okay.
There were some that were. And Diane in the chat said there's been some subtle references to the Jedi Temple in the Vader comic. So, I might have to thumb through that to see. That'd definitely be interesting.
Well, it is Kieran Gillen doing the Vader comics, and that's excellent. So I may have to hop over to Comixology.
Yeah.
Once we're done here and go pick up those issues.
I'll probably wait until like a trade or something comes out to actually read it. But, so, moving on to a book we both did read, Heir to the Jedi, which was also known as the Luke book. This was announced during Celebration as part of the Empire and Rebellion series, but it ended up being the only book to stay in canon just out of when it was published. We had thoughts about these books, or this book in particular.
So the first person prose didn't bother me. I know it bugged a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked it as a novelty.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, so I didn't have a problem with that. The pacing was off for me. Yeah. The first half of the book kind of felt like it was just moving from set piece to set piece aimlessly.
It really did. And I had a big problem with that. 'cause I kept thinking, what is this book about? And when is it going to start? You know, like I felt like the first third at least could have been chopped off and it could have been same.
You know what I almost wish it was instead? Tales of Luke Skywalker.
I mean, it like short stories like tied together. Like it really didn't have any narrative tie until they started to rescue Drusil. And then the story picked up, and which is fine. But the problem is they could have just had that be the whole story, and if it not be first person, they could have different perspectives to make it longer. The problem with first person's perspective is you lose out on a lot of the rest of the story. You have to tell a tight story because it's only through one person's point of view. And I don't know. First person doesn't always throw me off. Like, I liked Hunger Games. Some of my other favorite chick lit books are first person. The Icarus Hunt is a fantastic first person book.
Might be my favorite first person book ever.
Then there's I, Jedi, which is fantastic. But this just seemed more like a diary than a book. And I know some people liked that. But for me, it just did not work. Like, I love getting inside Luke Skywalker's head. But this just seemed too familiar.
Well, that's getting back to maybe this would have been better as a Tales of book, because the diary's fine if you're structuring it like a series of short stories.
See, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely not that I don't like Luke Skywalker's point of view, but it just didn't get me. You know, I had a really hard time getting into it. And as you know, I'm like huge Luke's biggest fan. So the fact that I couldn't get into it says a lot. So it definitely was not what you're used to in a Star Wars book. And there were some references that I could have done without. Some like little bits of prose that made me roll my eyes, but I mean, overall, I would have just shrugged my shoulders at the book and said meh if it wasn't for the ending of the book.
And like we said, we're spoiling all of these books.
Yes,
so
we are. So
if you haven't read it yet, you may want to tune out now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, because Nancy has thoughts.
Nancy has thoughts and feelings about the end of this book. would you say that it's fair to characterize a Frigidaire-sized problem with the end of the book?
Yes, very much so. So let's just spell it out for you guys. Luke is on a mission to rescue a given mathematician named Drusil. His partner on this mission is named Nakari. She's a capable lady. She's on the mission partly to fight back against the Empire for killing her mother. So her and Luke have a lot in common. She inspires him to learn about the Force and get better with telekinesis in the questionable way, but it works. And they strike up a little romance, and it's kind of sweet. And I admit, if I'd been more inclined to like this book, I probably would have written fanfic about them. Then she dies at the end of the book. Yeah. She dies. Luke Skywalker's love interest dies. Where have you heard that before? Where have we heard this before?
Hang on. Give me a second. This rings a bell.
let me just say, even if you don't care about fridging as an issue, if it's not a trope that bothers you, fine. At least you have to admit that this is a repetitive story idea that's kind of over. You know, I'm done with it. I'm done with Luke's love interest dying. I'm done with Luke not being able to be happy ever. This happened all the time in the Bantam books. Like, every love interest he had was doomed to failure. And not necessarily die right away, but most of them did. Gariel Capteason was the first person to die in the Carillion trilogy. A lot of people thought Mara was going to die in Vision of the Future, and were really surprised that she didn't. So everyone thought, okay, he's happy, you know, it's not like, you know, Lumia, Sharabrian Lumia, or any of the other lady, you know, one-off ladies who died. Then we got into the Legacy of the Force era, when Mara died. Then Lumia came back and Luke killed her, because he thought she killed Mara. Then you get into Fate of the Jedi, when Luke is mourning his dead wife, and he's got two ex-girlfriends come back and have him kill.
Callista was one. Who was the other?
Akana.
Oh, right.
Yeah. In two books, one right after the other. Now, let me tell you, okay, I would not necessarily, I'm not saying this is always a horrible thing, because Callista came back and in Conviction. And that was written by Aaron Alston, and it was a good book. I actually liked it, and I will tell you that Callista's death made me cry. That's saying a lot for me, because I never really liked her. But you know, the idea of Amaloth possessing someone that Luke had once cared about made sense, and him having to kill her was really heartbreaking. So it's not necessarily that I'm always going to be against it, but it's just that it happens all the time, and it makes me go, didn't someone tell Kevin Hearn that this has been done and it's old and not to do it?
The counter arguments I've seen to this are, well, it's a new canon, so it's okay, and it's powerful because it's a new canon.
No, it's not.
Except the trope by itself just isn't that powerful.
And there
anymore.
Isn't any reason for Luke to need it. Like, Luke doesn't need another person he cares about to die in order for it to hit him. He's already thinking throughout the book that his uncle and aunt have died, Biggs have died, you know, his father was long dead. You know, how many other people in the Battle of Yavin died? And he's realizing...
See, that would have been far more interesting, yeah, psychological trauma to explore.
Well, that he's realizing he's a soldier, this is what happens. Nakari almost dying could have had the exact same impact on him, and probably would have been more powerful, because he realizes this is his life forever. Even if the people he loves do survive, he's still going to be worried about them for the rest of his life, you know? And that's way more powerful than her just dying, in my opinion. Another thing I've heard people say is that, well, you know, they didn't want to have it seem like she could come back, you know. But
that one just does not sit well with me at all.
Because they're 19 years old.
Relationships fizzle out, and that's okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, And
I mean, you could even write it at the end of the book and make it just very clear.
Yeah, they have a conversation in the book about him liking Leia and how Nakari doesn't want to be second best. I use that. Like, I thought they were, that was the out for them not to be together. And I was like, okay, I mean, I would have been fine. I wanted them to get together because I thought it was adorable. But at the same time, I knew what was going to happen. So it's kind of like, I'm like, they could have just, you know, explored that, kissed a few times, and then at the end of the book realized, you know, they're not meant to be together and go their separate ways. Or have a relationship and realize that, oh, she's not necessarily going to show up in The Force Awakens because this is when Luke was 19 years old and a lot of things change. Hello? And she's not that important. It's not like Padme being in Revenge of the Sith and not showing up in the original trilogy.
What's truly a shame is that Nakari could have been narratively a useful character in other things.
Yeah, I mean, they could have used her in some of the comics. You know, she could have come back and in other books. And this is one of the problems that I think I'm going to have with the new canon. Is that we really haven't seen any recurring characters yet. And, you know, say what you will about the Bantam Expanded Universe, but characters came back, and characters came back not in books by the same authors. I mean, they crossed authors. Authors brought back other authors' characters because they were fan favorites. And that's how the universe grew. And, you know, that's how it became as popular as it did, because people liked those characters, you know? Like, you know, Korn, that was one of the issues with the New Jedi Order, is that when Del Rey took over, people were wondering, what is going to happen to all these characters from the Bantam books? Are they going to just go away and Del Rey is going to do their own characters? And they brought back a lot of the characters because, you know, they knew that that's what fans wanted. And I've noticed the trend lately is outside of, like, the main storylines, like Fate of the Jedi, a lot of the characters aren't used outside of those authors' books. And
The books are a whole lot more insular than they used to be.
Which isn't necessarily a problem.
I mean, with stuff like Legacy of the Force and Fate of the Jedi, you ran into the problem of continuity bloat and needing to have Wikipedia handy at all times in order to parse what's going on if you weren't intimately familiar with the universe. But there are ways to write a shared universe with these shared characters without the continuity baggage.
Yeah, I mean, like, instead of using, like, 10 characters from whatever, just bring in, like, one or two. I mean, and
Look at Tim Zahn's Scoundrels.
Yeah.
That was a great example.
Yeah, they used Winter, which, you know, was his character. They used Cal Tanner, which was from the Rey Squadron books. But you didn't really have to read those to get it. You know, you just got it. Another example would have been Mercy Kill by Aaron Alston. I mean, a lot of those characters were characters he had created. But you didn't really need to know a lot about them in order to get the book. You can explain enough to get them to understand it. But, like, our dogs are making a lot of noise right now. We apologize. They are fighting. Hey!
Hey, you two. Mara, Jade. Stop Mara living up to your
Jade.
Namesake.
Mara and Jade are causing a ruckus. They are angry about Luke's love interest dying. They're like, hey, think about us.
Bringing this back a little bit, the biggest problem was more of an out-of-universe social problem. They fridged a woman of color.
Yes.
And now, that's not necessarily bad. I had some people get really pissed off with me on Twitter saying that I was being a reverse racist because I was claiming
No. They were saying that about me.
Saying that about you.
I wrote the article. Yeah,
you wrote the article, but they were yelling at me.
You're a boy.
Yeah, I know. Suggesting that we were proposing that you can't ever kill a character of color.
And that's not the case.
The problem is when it's a universe... when it's pointless and when it's a universe that doesn't have that many women of color to begin with.
Yeah, there aren't really many of them. So the fact that she was really cool, and A plus to Kevin Hearn for doing that. Because the fact that Luke Skywalker had a love interest who was a woman of color is an extremely important thing. And if you don't understand why, then I don't know what to tell you. But her death didn't do anything. In the book, it had no purpose. It was just for Luke to have May in pain and be sad for a little bit, when any of the other deaths in his life could have done the same thing. And I mean, like, it didn't do anything for the plot. Nothing. And the book would have ended the same way whether she lived or died.
And from a diversity standpoint, it's kind of like pulling the rug out from under you. You introduce this really awesome character of color, then you kill them.
And she doesn't
I'd almost rather you didn't.
She didn't even die on page.
You know? It was off page.
And Luke feels her death. And, you know, the section where that happens was really well written. I just wish it hadn't been written for that, you know? Like, If he had thought that she died and then realized she didn't, like, it could have had the same effect. People say, well, that's the way the story is. You have to write the story. No, you're the author. You can write the story whatever way you want to write it. that's how writing works. You create the universe and you write it. So,
and it gets back to one of my just knee-jerk angry things where people just have this idea that killing a character automatically is dramatic and powerful and full of impact.
It's
really not necessarily.
Do y'all remember in Rebel Stan when everyone thought that Aaron Alston was going to kill Wedge Antilles? Would that scene have been any more powerful if he actually had killed Wedge Antilles? Or was it even more powerful because he didn't, but you thought he did, and you realize, holy crap, Wedge got out of that alive. That's how amazing he is. That's way more powerful.
There are not tropes that are inherently more powerful than the other, and I'd argue that the overuse of some tropes actually reduce how impactful and powerful they are. Fridging a woman is a trope that, since Gail Simone started pointing it out years ago, mm-hmm. has lost so much of that impact.
Yeah.
Because it's 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Killing a female character for the sake of man pain doesn't create an impact. It's just sad.
Yeah.
So it's really unfortunate that you put in the effort to create this great female character of color when there are so few of them in this universe, and then you just kill her. I mean, as a person of color, I almost wish you hadn't created the character.
Yeah.
If that's what you're going to do with them.
Yeah. It's kind of sad.
It sucked. It hurt. Mm. It was not fun.
No.
So, yeah, that's our issue with Heir to the Jedi. All right, we are at the 52-minute mark. Do we want to keep going?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can take the next one.
Lords of the Sith.
We don't really have much to talk about because the book's not out yet.
Yeah.
And we haven't read it.
I've cracked it open. Lords of the Sith, this is the Paul S. Kemp novel featuring Darth Vader and Palpatine. Yeah, I want that.
Can we have that book?
I would.
The Robot Chicken Road Trip Special?
And see, that's the problem. I'm reading this book and I can only hear Palpatine and Seth MacFarlane. I threw the whole Senate at him. What we will talk about this book is something that is out there in the open now, and that it features the first LGBT character, of the story group era canon.
First confirmed character.
First confirmed character, which is awesome.
Because I think Zeb or Sabine is, but That's my headcanon.
I hope so. First confirmed character. Which is great, except I'm really nervous about it, which I feel bad about. And the reason I'm nervous isn't because that this character is a lesbian, which I think, again, is awesome. I'm thrilled this was officially approved and is a part of the universe. My concern is that Paul Kemp is writing it.
I'm nodding.
Paul Kemp has a contentious history with diversity. He writes some good stuff, but he says some absolutely abhorrent stuff on social media and on his blog. And he has a tendency to kind of punch down at folks who call him on that and criticize him. So I'm kind of wary. I wrote a piece about this on the blog where I'm pretty much saying, yeah, I'm excited about this. I'm thrilled, but I'm also really wary and nervous because Kemp's writing it, and I feel awful that I'm so conflicted about this. Because he
has issues.
I have to Orson Scott Card this thing, and that stinks. But yeah, the problems I have are not necessarily about the book. It's trying to figure out a way to compartmentalize separating the art from the artist. Mm-hmm. And I'm still working out how to do that because I'm the book. Still working through it, but it's hard. If someone has any advice for how to compartmentalize these things, I'd be glad to hear it. Other than that, though, we'll see.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say on Lords of the Sith right now. I'll have more once I finish the book. I'll have a review up. I'll have a go no go for it. All the usual stuff.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to Dark Disciple?
Yes, we can read the blurb now.
Would you like to read this blurb?
Sure, I love reading blurbs.
You're great at blurbs.
Okay, Hawkeye. The only way to bring down the dark side's most dangerous warrior may be for Jedi and Sith to join forces. In the war for control of the galaxy between the armies of the dark side and the Republic, former Jedi Master turned ruthless Sith Lord Count Dooku has grown ever more brutal in his tactics. Despite the powers of the Jedi and the military prowess of their clone army, the sheer number of fatalities is taking a terrible toll. And when Dooku orders the massacre of a flotilla of helpless refugees, the Jedi Order feels it has no choice but to take drastic action, targeting the man responsible for so many war atrocities, Count Dooku himself. But the ever-elusive Dooku is dangerous prey for even the most skilled hunter, so the Council makes the bold decision to bring both sides of the Force's power to bear, pairing brash Jedi Knight Quinlan Vos with infamous one-time Sith acolyte Asajj Ventress. Though Jedi distrust for the cunning killer who once served at Dooku's side still runs deep, Ventress's hatred for her former master runs deeper. She's more than willing to lend her copious talents as a bounty hunter, an assassin, to Vos's quest. Together, Ventress and Vos are the best hope for eliminating Dooku, as long as the emerging feelings between them don't compromise their mission. But Ventress is determined to have her retribution and at last let go of her dark Sith past, balancing the complicated emotions she feels for Vos with the fury of her warrior spirit. She resolves to claim victory on all fronts, a vow that will be mercilessly tested by her deadly enemy and her own doubt.
Ventress and Vos, huh?
Yeah. Now, I will say that I do not automatically go about the romance. Because I like romance. I like to ship characters. And I think that this is a very interesting idea. However, my problem is that the character in this book is Quinlan Vos and not Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I know!
It's not necessarily because I dislike Vos, because I'm neutral about him.
But I really like the interaction between
Obi-Wan and Ventress.
Like, I feel,
it's so good.
I feel like if Ventress is going to have a complicated relationship with the Jedi,
it'd be Obi-Wan.
She already had it with Obi-Wan. And it bums me out that they didn't put them together. Like, it really bums me out. I'm really disappointed. You know, I know that this is based on Clone Wars episodes.
Yeah, it's based on 8 episodes, apparently, of unused Clone
so
Wars scripts.
So, it's not the author's fault, but it makes me question
We're not frustrated with Christy Gold. No. We're going, Dave Filoni, come on,
because,
man!
I mean, like, they gave us the Obi-Wan and Ventress interaction. It was so good. And having them interact after, you know, Satine died and all this stuff, then it's like, oh, man, Obi-Wan, now he's got Ventress to deal with, and she kind of likes him, and he kind of likes her, and what the hell is up with this? So, yeah.
Opportunity missed, but I'm still excited for the book.
I mean, I'll read the book. I'm not a person who, like, sees romance and goes, eh, because I think romance is important in books. I don't want to read straight-out romance books, but I think romance can add a lot of interesting ideas, you know, interesting aspects to a book, you know? Like, you know, Thrawn trilogy, you know, we've got Luke and Mara and that tension. While I don't think it was romantic, like, it was still good and interesting, you know, so the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my problem is not that there's a romance, it's that it's not with Obi-Wan.
I mean, the execution with Voss could still be great, yeah, and I'll greatly enjoy it, but oh, it would have been so cool if it had been Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough good Obi-Wan stuff out there.
Yeah.
But yeah,
definitely
keep your eyes out for that.
Yeah. So, and I wanted to mention, like, going back to the whole idea of not bringing characters back, I think the problem is with it, it makes it that I don't, like, it's hard for me to feel connected to the characters when I know that they might not return. You look very concerned right now.
Sorry, I'm just hearing this weird fan noise
coming
from over there.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it's like Rae Sloane from A New Dawn. I really liked her. And I would love for her to come back. But I kind of know that she won't. And it bums me out, you know? Because I'm like, why am I going to get attached to these characters if they are just never to be found again? You know, so that, I mean, I hope that they don't, I hope that they don't, you know, I hope that they will bring characters back, you know, I hope it doesn't get too insular. There's a very fine balance between having things be too self-referential and you have to, you know, follow a whole Wikipedia article to understand what's going on, but, you know, people like Star Wars because of the characters, you know, people read Star Wars books because of the characters, so that's my thoughts on the subject.
Good thoughts, I think. Mm-hmm. And finally, there is Star Wars Aftermath, which we talked about last week. Go listen to that show if you have any questions.
So,
Chuck Wendig, I'm very excited.
Yeah, and it's part of a trilogy. We don't know about the rest of it, if Wendig's writing it. Someone asked him on Twitter. He said he couldn't say, so it's very cryptic. We don't know when the rest of the books are coming out, if they're coming out this year or next year. Hopefully we will learn at Celebration. So
we shall find out.
Yeah.
But that's going to wrap up Cammy's concerns for the day.
Yes.
We'll be back next week with a different discussion topic, I think.
Yeah.
What is our show next week?
Well, we eventually have to do a Celebration preview. But I don't know if we're going to do that next week or the week before. Probably the week before, because they'll have all the stuff out.
Yeah.
So next week, we'll see. See if we get anyone.
Maybe we'll go wrangle a guest.
maybe we could wrangle a celebration guest.
We could wrangle a celebration guest.
Who do we know that's going to celebration that we can get on the podcast?
I don't know.
We'll have to think about it.
We will think about it. Maybe we'll go get Tom back to talk about what Delray's up to at celebration. Hey, Tom. What's up, man? How you doing? You free next week?
You're funny.
I know. I try. Okay, we'll go ahead and wrap up there. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links. Help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tosh_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tosh Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Toshi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We don't know what we're talking about next week, but we'll see you next week.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of ToshiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Toshi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.